And now it's time for The Grelly with your host, Jerry Negrelli.
Give people a second to get their tape recorders ready.
Jerry Negrelli.
Annandale,
Virginia. He's Jerry Negrelli.
Jerry Negrelli is brilliant.
Hope he likes Paul McCartney.
This is The Grelly, and I am your host, Jerry Negrelli. I thank you for joining me. I'm thrilled to be here today. I did not think I would have a chance to record this episode. I've been really busy, unfortunately. But I'm here today to tell you some stories, play some songs, shill for some product, and otherwise try to entertain you. There's a lot of good content today, so I hope it lives up to the quality you've come to expect from the Grelly Enterprise and all the Grelly-affiliated products and spin-off products. Back in June 2015, Steve Lipton was just rising to prominence, and one of Steve's favorite things to do was to do these just-in-time jingles about something that Tony had done the day before. And in his enthusiasm and his building catalog, there were a lot of songs that I felt commemorated stories that weren't jingle-worthy, that were just stupid things Tony said that didn't really merit a jingle. And so I put together a parody of this Run Flat Tire story that Tony had said. And then, true to form, about a week or so later, Steve released this wonderful parody of Run Flat Tire. So I wanted to play those two songs here in homage to Steve and the era of the turnaround jingle and kind of my mocking version of it. And then Steve's very good, funny jingle about Tony and his Run Flat Tires.
As he lost PSI. If you think that he stopped and changed a flat tire or called the tow truck for a ride, then you don't know this guy. He decided to drive on the rim after OnStar couldn't help him. But in the end he should have known he'd be fine. Same thing happened last time, made it to the station alright, 'cause he has run flat tires. He has run flat tires. He has run flat tires. He has run flat tires.
Looking out the beltway rushing by, trying hard to use the OnStar to get your tire to survive. In 2015, Tone was 68 and he still can't change a tire. I just hope Mario's Liberty Station is up on the right. Running on
flat running tires.
Tire. Tony, you really panicked. You know the way your pressure declined. I love that Jim Coleman left the spare out this time.
Don't be a sigh.
You know there's gotta be a sunglass hut nearby.
Don't be a sigh.
You better call your son and say it's raining outside.
Meanwhile, Nigel's car is limping from Georgetown to Virginia Beach, running on empty.
Another story that Tony told a little while later in May 2016 was about a deer in his backyard and how that deer gave birth to a fawn, and the story of the fawn and the deer. And one person who really seemed to be fixated on that, because he did like five jingles about it, was Jason Fuse. And so I wanted to play one of my favorite songs from that era about deers in Tony's backyard.
Just got home from 18 homes. Now I need to be consoled. And so I'll check in on my little herbivore. Is this my imagination or brand new calculation? Dear, 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 I'm counting out my back door. There's a coyote doing cartwheels. A fox is wearing high heels. Look at all the happy creatures dancing on the lawn. My dog is looking woebegone, tells me that I'm on my own. Dear, 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 standing out my back door. Sacagawea Way McManus is now the new Jack Hanna. But the worst part is I'll hear I had that Tony. Ba-ba-ba. Is this an apparition, or have deer discovered vision? Dear, 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 taking over next door. Dear, 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 how long till I count four?
Okay, so in 2015, we had a story about Run Flat Tires and some great jingles about that. And then in 2016, we had stories about deer and some great jingles about that. So if you're a listener of Tony's show, I suppose it would come as no surprise to you that he likes to repeat his stories. So in July of 2018, Tony had to kill some time when lock and forest and the phone didn't work. And so he told some stories about both Run Flat Tires and deer in the backyard in the same show. And I was just blown away. I mean, it was news stories, I guess, but the Run Flat Tires thing was basically the same thing that happened in 2015, where his tire went flat and he panicked and he was worried about it, but nothing really was an issue. And then there was a deer that he observed in his yard. And that's kind of the end of it. So I wanted to commemorate that moment with a parody about Run Flat Tires and deers in the backyard. So here's my take on that.
Tony, it seems like your podcast is just stories to kill time. Tragic, but inspiring tales of an old man past his prime. You know we love when you talk golf. Just kidding, that's what fast forward's for. And on a recent show, you told two tales I swear we've heard before. It seems there's one more deer in your backyard, one more hole in your tire. Tony, you know I love listening, but at this point I can't explain why. There's one less tooth in your gum line, one less day you're alive. Tony will never stop listening to stories you tell 20 times.
The Jingle Side Kickstarter has reached our initial funding goal. I am so excited. For the 73 of you who have supported it, thank you so much. For those of you on the Patreon site, your money is going towards that as well. It is so humbling that every year people decide to put actual money towards this silly, ridiculous thing called Jingle Fest. It's just such an honor to be able to put this on, and that you all feel enough confidence in me and the others that do this to sponsor it in some way. At this point, we have enough money to cover all the travel costs for all the jinglers that do the silly songs. If we raise another $2,000, we'll have enough to put down the down payment for Jam and Java. And if we raise another $4,000, we'll have enough to go somewhere in Maryland. So if you want to go to Virginia, help me get that extra $2,000 and help prevent me from getting that $4,000, because I really want to go to Maryland. But that's a long way from here in terms of funding goals. So I'm realistic about where we're going to get. But I really appreciate all your help, and thank you for making that happen. Jeff and I have been going back and forth on Jingle Side logo ideas. So I'm really hoping that soon we can unveil the logo for Jingle Side. Got a couple of different angles we're looking at here, and I have full confidence he's just brilliant at design, so I'm sure something wonderful is going to come up. I don't know if I mentioned this last week, but the one logo that he did for me, I think the most recent one, the Little Songs logo, I love it a lot, but there is a guy playing trumpet in that logo, and nobody has ever played trumpet on a jingle, so it's like this total, like, nit that I have. Every time I look at the Little Songs logo, I'm like, ah, there's that guy playing trumpet. Like, there's nobody that plays trumpet. That was supposed to be somebody holding a pad of paper and a pencil, or somebody, you know, that was a writer, because in the Little Songs logo, we capture people with microphones and guitars, and there was originally a piano one. It didn't really look very good. But I really wanted to have somebody like holding up the pen and paper and really trying to convey that, but it just didn't come across in the silhouette form. It, you know, just looked like somebody holding a stick. So we went with somebody playing a musical instrument, which happened to be a trumpet, and looks fine, but it, to me, it's this glaring thing. Every time I look at the logo, like, ugh, where's the trumpet player? So if you listen to this show and you play the trumpet, or you know somebody that was in band, and or you have a child in band that plays the trumpet, maybe you can help put together some kind of trumpet-based jingle so that we can rationalize why that is part of the official Little Songs logo. It would help me out a lot. I would really appreciate it. Thank you.
I'm gonna need $1 million to do my show. I'm not going in the red to go out on my own. I only need $1 million. Just $1 million. Please give me $1 million. A measly $1 million. I'll dress like a turkey and I'll wear your logo. I'll reserve Solicitor's chair for your CEO. If you give me $1 million, just $1 million. You don't need that $1 million. I need that $1 million. Chip Sheeman was great, but with your help we'll do better every single day. Sheena Parvin will do the weather. If you have $100 million, well, that's okay. Nigel will drop by with a wheelbarrow today.
I have a piano. It sits in my spare room. I have a piano. Inherited from someone I don't know how to play. And I have no talent, but Mr. Tony is soliciting jingles, so I thought I'd try it. Nigel, this is MP3. May the Lord have mercy on me and my piano.
Like Tony Beeson, I also have a piano. And mine came with my house. Back in 2004, when I moved to Annandale, the only piece of furniture in this house, when we came to look at it, was a baby grand piano from around 1910 or so. Beautiful, natural wood finish, played great, in excellent condition. And the previous owner, he had moved just a few doors down, and the woman he was moving in with was a piano teacher, so he did not have a need for a second piano. So he left it in the house when he moved, and he planned to take it with him at some point if we didn't want it. And so after he purchased the house, as we were getting close to closing, he offered to add it to the cost of the house as a closing cost. And he said, you know, he priced out the piano. It was something around $10,000. He would add that to the price of the house. And if he didn't want it, he would come pick it up immediately within a week or two. And he needed to get in the house and get pictures, and it was a big deal. I said, well, you know, that's just way too much money to spend for a piano. Even though we love it, it's awesome. We'd love to have it, but we're not going to pay that. That wasn't part of our budget. She said, all right, fine. I'll be back in a week. You need to let me in to take some photos so I can list it online. I said, yeah, no problem. Totally understand. So we got to closing, and now there was a new document that said, all right, you don't have to buy the piano from me. You can keep it in the house short term until sometime when I come to take it. But you need to agree that if it gets damaged in any way, then you're liable for it and you'll buy it from me. I said, no. There's no way we're gonna accept that deal. We're just gonna have to let you take it. So feel free, come back and take it. We love it, but you know, understand you need to have your piano. It's very expensive. It's all yours. It's your property. No problem. So I said, all right, fine. I'll be back in a week or so to come take some photos and list it online. So a few months passed. We hadn't heard anything, and a letter appeared in our mailbox. Just a hand delivered note, because as I mentioned, this nice gentleman who used to live here, I just moved a few doors down. And the note said, Dear Jerry and Missy, If you would like to purchase my piano, I will sell it to you for a reduced price of $8,000. If you do not accept these terms, I'll be by the house in a week or two to take some photos and list it online and have some movers come take it away. So, you know, we saw him walking the dog in the neighborhood, said, yeah, I know, we're not going to be able to do that. So totally understand you need to come back and take it. So maybe 6 months go by. We have another letter that arrives in the mailbox. It says, Jerry and Missy, I will be willing to sell you my piano for $6,000. Please, you know, take it or leave it. This is my final offer. I've gone way down from the original price. If you do not accept these terms, I'll be by in a week or two to take some photos. Once again, love the piano, but I don't have $6,000 laying around. I mean, this was before the days of Kickstarter. I guess maybe I could do a GoFundMe and buy a piano. But so no. I can't accept those terms. A year passes. Another letter arrives in the mail. It says, Jerry and Missy, I will be willing to sell you my piano for $4,000, but this is the final offer. If you don't accept these terms, I'm taking the piano back. We didn't even reply to that one. I said, all right, well, you know, again, we're not going to spend any money on this thing. It's his to begin with. We'd love to have it. It's a nice piece of furniture in the room, but, you know, we're not going to spend that much money on a piano. It's just a lot of money to spend. And that was maybe 12 years ago is the last time we've corresponded about the piano. So I don't know what the statute of limitations is on this. I feel like, at some point that it transfers into our possession. But honestly, I expect it someday I'll get a letter in the mailbox saying, Jerry and Missy, I'd love to sell you the piano for $2,000 or whatever the next logical price is. It's a lovely piece of furniture. Love to have it. Love that my kids hopefully will be able to learn it to play piano using it. But at this point, there is no plan to actually purchase said piano.
I'm not sure why, but you're listening to The Grelly.
I was looking at littlesongs.net, which I encourage you all to do, because it's a wonderful website, completely redesigned from tkjingles.com, whatever that crap was. It's a beautiful website. And on there is an ideas page where littles can write ideas and write their own lyrics, and other people can say, hey, I want to sing that, or I want to help play an instrument on that. And there have been over 200 jingles. I didn't count them, but I was just quickly running through the list, so I don't have the precise number. But over 200 people have posted an idea that somebody said, yeah, I'll do that, and then translated that into a jingle, and many of those made the show. They definitely have a proclivity for collaborations when they pick songs from the mailbag. So if you write an idea, your odds of actually getting on the show, if you have Joe sing it or somebody else sing it, are much better than if Joe wrote his own or you did your own. Just having that collaboration thing and encouraging littles to work together is huge, which is one reason it drives me crazy that they don't promote the website, because I think that not doing that kind of dries up that well, unless you happen to be a fanatic of the Grelly, as well, I mean, there's thousands of you, but, you know, otherwise, you're not going to discover these things. So anyway, I mind the ideas page from time to time. I tend to prefer to work on my own and write my own stuff, but every now and then there's an idea that I absolutely love the song, or I just love the lyrics, or whatever it is, and it just captures my imagination, and I want to do it. So I wanted to play two now. These are two of my all-time favorite ideas that were submitted that I essentially took as is. Didn't really make many changes to them, didn't mess with them. A great example of that is the Tony's multi-flavored sandwich Joseph parody from a few weeks ago. But I already played one Joseph parody on this show today, so I'm not going to do another one. But here are two ideas. One is from John Quinn, and one is from, I think, Jay Crockett. These are just brilliant submissions by littles that I changed very little, if anything. I just love the song so much and the material. They're just perfect. So enjoy these collaborations that I had a small part in bringing to life.
I've seen him on TV, on PTI. I've even dreamt he was surprised 1,000 times. It's almost like he already knows each score. Will Bond, how on earth do you know each score? I just can't believe my eyes when I watch the crawl. You picked the date and time Syracuse would lose in basketball, and you always dress so sharp in your tailored well-cut suits. And I believe that it's no secret you love shoes.
So play it one more time as Senate Majority Leader Tommy Norment attempts to get in touch with his inner Jewishness.
But we don't have the chutzpah to do it.
What a dope. I mean, come on.
Oh, come on, Tony. Don't call him a dope. He was actually using a Yiddish word that you don't know.
Chutzpah
has a whole deeper resonance that only Virginia Jews know about.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now on ESPN 980.
I'm amazed that has not gone further around the country, at least into big cities where people could make fun of it. Just play that again. Play it a lot. Because Corey and Gary were not here yesterday, so they need to hear this like live in the studio.
Why don't you set it up? Because there's probably many listeners.
This guy is the Senate leader, Senate Majority Leader in the House of Delegates, if that's what it's called,
in the Commonwealth
of Virginia. Okay? And he's, the context of this, if I remember correctly, is something like, you know, politicians ought to be able to get pay raises, but then it doesn't work out politically, so they don't really do it. And just play it.
But we don't have the chutzpah to do it.
Just unbelievable. I assume he's trying to say chutzpah, but chutzpah.
I wouldn't assume that.
What is he trying to say, chutzpah?
Can you turn it into a verb or go chutzpah yourself?
Yeah, I think you can. I mean, that's just. Play it again.
But we don't have the chutzpah to do it.
What does his district look like? What does his office look like? That's.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I thought it was spectacular. I just happened to have it on in the car yesterday, and I had to pull over. I was laughing so hard. God bless them.
I don't have any patience for that.
Good
Michigies.
But we don't have the chutzpah to do it.
I'd love to get the guy on, but it would be a terrible interview.
It would be terrible.
People would say, oh, you know, you owe it to him. No, we don't. We don't owe it him.
We don't do equal time.
No,
we do our time.
Right. We don't. You know, just one more, please.
But we don't have the chutzpah to do it.
What's interesting is he sounded like he was actually concentrating on saying it correctly.
There are people I know who like to use the word shtick, but they say stick.
Doesn't work.
They say stick.
That's a great stick you've got.
That's great stick.
They can't do it.
Yeah, in fact, it is. You can hear my stick to set it up.
Yeah. And so this is not infrequent, but not that many people go out on a limb in a speech. Let's play it again. It's so good.
A word I can use to gain nachos from Jews.
Chaputzpah.
With a wonderful stick like this, I could never lose. Chaputzpah, a great Yiddish word called chaputzpah. And when the word is said, a wave of Jewish cred for me. Chaputzpah, I'll top off my speech with chaputzpah. Then I'll be such a maker, address the goyim later, you'll see. Chaputzpah, say it loud, many votes it'll win ya. Say it soft like a Jew from Virginia.
Chaputzvah, I'll never stop saying Chaputzvah. I'll admit chutzpah may have been a more Geheric word. Chaputzvah.
So those were ideas that were fully realized, that were well-written, that were perfectly structured, that just really were awesome. But my favorite type of idea, or my preference rather, is when somebody gives me a song title that's fully realized. Like Goodbye RG3 was submitted on Twitter. Somebody said, hey, I'm sure you guys are already working on the lyrics to Goodbye RG3. And I responded, I think I said, no, but I am now. Because that's an awesome idea. And so a great example of that was Edith McManus. That one was just thrown out there like somebody should do Edith McManus to Viva Las Vegas. And I think, in fact, that that same tweet by a different person was sent to me like a year later, and I was able to have the joy to say, oh, yeah, that's done, actually. Somebody else suggested that, and it's here. Here's the link. So that's always been a favorite of mine, just because it was an idea that was just only a title and it came together in like 15 minutes of just writing it. It just was a perfect idea, easy to write, turned out great, an all-time classic. I love that one. And then another one, when I had Scary Gary Allen on the podcast as a guest. So if you'd never listened to that, when I grew up, one of my inspirations for all the stuff I'm doing now was not just Weird Al Yankovic, but the Dr. Demento show. And Dr. Demento had a radio show, was at least an hour, if not two. I would stay up late. It was on at some really obscure time, like 10 o'clock on a Sunday night or some really awful time where I had to stay up past my bedtime with a small Walkman tape recorder recording the episode from the radio. And I would religiously do this every week. I would record the Dr. Demento show and then play it back and splice together mixtapes of songs that I happened to like from it to keep for posterity. And the one guy that always jumped out at me was an amateur, and I didn't know he was amateur at the time, but just, you know, I don't think he ever released an album, just this amateur parody artist named Scary Gary Allen. And I think his name was probably inspired by Weird Al Yankovic. And Scary Gary is working in the media industry today. He's such a gracious, nice guy. I was able to connect with him and have him on a podcast episode and kind of talk about all this stuff and that time period and these. And it was like as much fun as it was to have Tony on the show and Gary and all the people from the show, for what I do and what this hobby is, to me, that was one of the most gratifying experiences ever, just being able to connect with Gary and chat with him about all this stuff. And then he shared with me the links to his digital catalog. So I was able to go download his high-quality versions of all the songs he'd recorded back in the early 90s. And it was just amazing. It just was so cool. So as part of that episode, I asked Gary, I said, hey, would you mind if I look at one of your song titles and do my own version of it with sight unseen, not listening to it, if I just take that idea and write my own lyrics to that title? So that's what I want to play now. So we're going to play Edith McManus and then a parody of a total cheeseball 80s song. But the title was suggested by one of my idols when I was 13 years old, Scary Gary Allen.
Well, Mr. Tony's going to name that tune. He's going to name it after only one note. He knows every song from the 1940s, and he relishes his chance to gloat. There's a silent laughing lady in the chick chair, shaking her head cause she really don't care about the old man with so little hair. When he says, Edith McManus, Edith McManus, Edith McManus, Edith, Edith McManus.
staring? Is it something I'm wearing? Oh, wait. It's probably just because I'm bald. But Wilbon looks dashing. He's a paragon of fashion. Why do I look like a hot dog with a beard and shades? I don't have the hair I used to. Mother Nature is really cruel. I don't have the hair I want to, but at least I'm still richer than you.
So I was talking a lot about ideas, and those that are fully realized, those that are titles, and then there's the occasional idea where I really like it, but I feel like I want to help kind of craft it or shape it on my own a little bit. And that happened this past week. On August 1st, which happened to be my 40th birthday, BFed78 submitted an idea to the tune of Blue Moon by the Marcells. And if you know me, you know that any song between 1958 and 1963... I'm probably going to want a parody. And this was about Bronson Burgoon, which, although I think it's a god-awful story, the idea of Burgoon to Blue Moon is wonderful. And finding another way to take that piece of music and honor Bronson Burgoon and that god-awful golf story just seemed like a ton of fun. So I took BFed's idea. And I apologize that I'm going to use 5% of this, but I really want to try to stay true to the spirit of it, but just kind of put my own take on it. I thought it would take me a week or so. I think it took me a half hour. I got way too into it and was able to churn it out. And this is what came of it.
Bomb and a bomb, bomb and a bomb and a bomb and a bomb, dang a dang dang a ding a dang.
Burgoon, what are you holding that club for? What are you wearing those gloves for? Like some professional golfer.
Bomb and a bomb and a bomb and a dang a dang dang a ding a dang.
Burgoon, wait, is that what you are? Your name's escaped me thus far, and now you're putting for par. But then suddenly, my son starts crying. You look up with fury on your face. I force a smile, but inside I'm dying. I grab my son and slowly back away. Oh, Burgoon, don't you know who my dad is? When you get mad, he gets maddest. Full of grandfatherly malice. Burgoon, now hold on just a minute. Bootsy cried, now you're winning. I guess all is forgiven.
Burgoon.
So thank you to JFeds and that wonderful idea. I wanted to give a shout out to Mike Vormatog, who put on Twitter, this is the Grelly in the Wild sighting. It says, brilliant work by Jerry Negrelli taking the Beatles' Rocky Raccoon and telling Michael Kornheiser's Bronson Burgoon story. As I said on that episode, there are some stories that are just perfect and need to be immortalized, and then there are others that aren't, but are memorialized anyway. It's sort of like this podcast. It doesn't really need to exist, but it just happens to anyway. If you've enjoyed this, please consider supporting me on Patreon, patreon.com/littlesongs, or better yet, go to the Kickstarter if you haven't supported that yet. Sign up to get a t-shirt or something for your troubles and help us get to a great venue for 2019. I know it's a long way away, but I'm going to get that taken care of now. My least favorite thing to do although it may surprise you, is the shill for cash. Let's get this over with. Let's get focused back on the content and churning out this podcast and all these high-quality little songs. Thank you for listening to The Grelly.
Nigel and Gary said, come to the studio and meet Tony. Can't sing on the air, but you can sing in the parking lot. Mmm, bop, bop, bop.